Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, but you held on with all your might. Child of Christ, how wonderful the Master. He knows your voice. Hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun, and seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you've prayed all night, but you've held on with all your might. Child of Christ, and a woman, the Master, he knows your voice. You're up there worried, but he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, it all must cease. Because you pray. Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Amen. Brother Joe, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer?
Family, Lord, just put your healing touch upon those.
Would you, church, would you stand and join the choir tonight? Turn over to page number 286 if you need it. The Glory Land Way, 286. Everyone sing now.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory on the last. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. And it's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. Had a great day today in the house of the Lord. We had COU and Brotherhood this afternoon. Two good meetings. We have some that are not here with us tonight. Have a graduation going on over at Grace tonight. And please be much in prayer for Christian. He's speaking over there for their graduation. We really need to lift him up in prayer. And that'll be a great time over there for their family. So please, let's lift them up and lift him up in prayer tonight, and pray the Lord give them just a great, great celebration over there. We have a couple others that are graduating, I believe, on Thursday. And Caitlin this morning, I believe she said that her graduation is on Saturday. So it'll be a very eventful week for a lot of families through this week. Don't forget on Wednesday evening Bible study, prayer meeting here at the church. And a lot of folks going through some difficult times. Please remember all the prayer requests, especially Barbara Ann. She's going through a very, very difficult time. Brother Jack, Miss Jackie, I believe, took Miss Barbara down there today. Is that correct? And so she's just not doing well at all, is she?
Barbara said she was doing better today than she was yesterday, but this still just kind of a touch and go thing. She did know who we were while we was there, which was a good sign, but she's still on the breathing machine. So.
They're going to try to take a little bit more of a concern for the heart rate
and they're actually having to give her medicine to keep her blood pressure
So please remember them in prayer. Brother Jim Carmichael is able to come home today. That's a praise, and we thank the Lord for that. But do continue to lift him up in prayer. And again, many other prayer requests have been lifted up to the Lord today. And we just want to ask him to continue to ask him to be with those in some very, very difficult situations. Thank you for remembering my mother-in-law in prayer. She still has some hurdles to go through, and we just continue to lift her up in prayer. And I do appreciate all the prayers and concerns. And I pray for Terry as she ministers to her. I really appreciate your prayers concerning that. And but again, let's go to him in a word of prayer. Ask him to be with us tonight. Pray for Pastor. Great message this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Have a very special treat for you here in a few moments. And a special song, I believe it'll be a blessing to you. It has certainly been a blessing to us during choir practice. And we look forward to hearing from Miss Shirley. She's going to share a song with us tonight. Thank the Lord for that. Lord, we love you and praise you. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we know that our cries, Lord, they touch your heart. And Lord, I'm glad to know that you know my voice, Lord, when I cry out unto you. Lord, I'm thankful to know, Lord, that I can call on your name. It doesn't matter the hour. You neither sleep nor slumber. Lord, you always know exactly what I need, and Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, you know every heart and every life in this room tonight. Lord, every family that is represented here in this place tonight. Lord, many prayer requests. Many come on behalf of family members that are hurting and going through some very, very difficult times. Lord, we come together corporately, Lord, tonight. We lift these up to you, knowing that you know all about them. Lord, all that we would ask would be that your will and that your way would be accomplished in each one. That's all we want, Lord, is for your will to be done. We also know, Lord, that you are a God that heals. Lord, we pray that your healing hand would be upon each one, that your will, your way would be accomplished. Lord, I pray that you'd be in this meeting tonight. Lord, we've had a great day today in your house. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for each meeting that, Lord, that's been able to be has taken place here today. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our pastor. Lord, speak through him tonight. Lord, accept our worship and our praise. Lord, now touch the offering. You know exactly what is needed financially here at Calvary. Lord, we'll be careful to praise you, and we'll be careful to thank you for all that is accomplished here tonight. Lord, be in the graduation ceremony and service there tonight at Grace. And be with Christian, Lord, as he stands. Give him strength, Lord, tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name.
Thank you. peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change, and down in the valley comes a child. You are never of faith when you're up on that mountain. Talk comes easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test.
Appreciate you, Miss Shirley, making that stand to say God had a song on your heart. We're not going to be here tonight, but I told Miss Shirley that, of course, much of the songs, I'm pretty sure all the songs that we sing, have a spiritual basis. But this particular song comes from the book of Judges, chapter number 1. Listen to this in verse 17. And Judah went with Simeon, his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also, Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And then verse number 19 of Judges chapter 1, verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. That verse right there says that the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. And it solely rested upon the perspective of those that were fighting. Because the Bible says in verse 19, and the Lord was with Judah, period. He was with them. And he drove out the inhabitants on the mountain. So the Lord was with Judah, and while on the mountain, the Lord drove out the enemy. Then the Bible says, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. Why? Because of their perspective. Their eyes got off God and got on the enemy. The Bible says, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. The same God that was winning on the mountain was the same God that could have won in the valley. It had everything to do with their perspective. Their eyes got off of the Lord and on those chariots of iron. You know, sometimes in life comes across our path chariots of iron, doesn't it? And there's intimidation there. And sometimes our eyes get off the Lord and on those iron things, those chariots of iron. Lord, how am I going to defeat this? And the Lord just simply says, you didn't defeat the last one. I did. Well, sometimes you kind of get a feeling that God's moving things. But we appreciate that, Miss Shirley and Brother Allen and the choir. And, Calvary's choir can do all kinds of things. Acts chapter number 9 tonight for a few moments. Acts chapter number 9. And we're going to leave you with another word of encouragement tonight. Acts chapter number 9. And we did our best this morning to encourage talk about David's praise from a raise, and we know that God gives raises. He lifts us up, and we cry out to Him. We sang that song a moment ago. Our cry has awoken the Master. And again, that word cry that David used back in Psalm 40 is through the idea of the word halloon, which means to shout loud so someone can hear. And this afternoon I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, again, in our home, how that I knew if I shouted loud enough, Christy could hear me. And because of that, there was anticipation there of my deliverance. And so I shouted, she finally heard me, and David said, the Lord heard his cry and delivered him from a horrible pit out of the miry clay. Tonight, Acts chapter number 9, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 23 through 25. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. We're thankful. And Lord, we're grateful how you've worked in our midst today. But I pray, Lord, that you would touch us one more time. And Father, I pray that you would gird up the loins of my mind and help me to rightly divide your word and rightly apply your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch hearts and encourage, and, dear Lord, that you would just direct the steps of your people. Father, by the time we leave tonight, we all could say that it was good and it was well being here today in your house. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter number 9. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23. The Bible says in verse 23 of Acts 9, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I want to stop there in verse number 25. Notice in verse number 25 again what the disciples did. They let Paul down by the wall in a basket. A couple Sunday nights ago, we talked about Paul in his closing days in life. Tonight, I want to talk about Paul the basket case. Paul the basket case. And we know that Paul was running in his life. He had recently been converted, and he was preaching the gospel. And we know that many of the Jews took counsel to kill him. Verse 23 says that. But he had some people in his life that loved him. He had some people in his life that protected him. And because of that, they put him in a basket, and they held the rope for him as they let him down the side of the wall. I want to ask a question tonight. Is there someone in your life that, I don't want to say it's a basket case. We all could be a basket case, couldn't we? From one day to the next. But maybe there's someone in your life that you are holding the rope for. I want to encourage all of us to keep holding that rope. Maybe if there's someone in your life that you're not in a position where you have been holding a rope for them, you haven't been an encouragement to them, my word tonight to you is to get involved as much as you can. Be an encouragement to them. Hold the rope for them, because they may be hanging on by your prayer. They may be hanging on by a couple of prayers. They may be a prayer away from falling off the other side. And so tonight I want to just encourage us all to hold the rope. But we do see Paul the basket case here. I want to mention three simple things, and then we'll be through and go to the house. Number one, I want you to notice in chapter 9, verse 1 through 9, we see Paul's conversion. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly," notice this, "there shined round about him a light from heaven." So all of a sudden, Paul says, "I see the light." Look in verse number 4. "And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So looking early on in Paul's conversion, we see that Paul was going to murder Christians. He was going to cause personal injury. But as Paul went to do what Paul wanted to do, Paul seen the light. Aren't you glad tonight that life being lived your way and life being lived my way before Christ, B.C., when we were going to do things our way, we had our own agendas, that we saw the light. And the light comes from God's Word, and the light comes from the words of God, but it can come in many ways. We all have our own personal testimony as to the shape we were in when God found us. You've heard my testimony, and I've heard many of your testimonies. But nonetheless, Paul seen the light, and he was a murderer. He was going to continue murder against those that were Christians and those that were good, but he seen the light. Not only did Paul see the light in verse number 3, but Paul heard a voice. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So Paul is hearing things, or Paul is seeing things, and Paul is hearing things. And really, it sounds like a basket case in a sense, but really, it's the good kind of basket case. It's the kind of case that the world would say, "Man, you're crazy. What do you mean you saw the light? What do you mean you heard some things?" Well, Paul's testimony would be, "I was on my way to persecute the church, and a light from heaven shined down upon me and knocked me on my back." He said, "Then I heard Jesus speak to me." Think about what the world calls us today. We saw the light, like the song goes, "I saw the light, I saw the..." Look at Brother Eddie, I feel like you ought to sing that. But you have sang it before here, I thought. "I saw the light." Think about going to the workplace and on the job and say, somebody say, "Well, why do you go to church?" "Because I saw the light. I heard Jesus speak to..." "What do you mean Jesus spoke to you?" Well, this is the case with Paul, that he seen the light and he heard the Lord's voice. But notice, if you would, in verse number 6. "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord..." Notice that first letter in the word "Lord" here is capital L. And Paul is acknowledging Jesus as Lord. "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, Master, Savior, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And so now we see Paul, he is converted. And we see his conversion wrapped up in this verse where he said, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Do you know what one of the desires, the very first desire of a Christian is? It's to serve Jesus. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Someone who has met Jesus will desire to serve Jesus. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And then, of course, there's love, joy, peace, patience, and all those other things. But the desire for God's Word and the desire to serve the Lord and the desire for prayer, all of those things. This is a picture of salvation. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And so now we see Paul here. He is converted and he has seen the light and he has heard the Lord's voice. And now he is ready to serve the Lord, Paul and his conversion. There's a second thing I want us to look at. Not only verse number 1 through 9, we see Paul's conversion. But in verse number 19 through 25, we see, or rather, verse number 10 through verse number, 10 to verse number 18, we see Paul's cure. Paul's conversion, but then Paul's cure. Look at verse number 10. Paul is now without sight. He is blind. The Bible says in verse number 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold," notice this, "he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Not only Paul's conversion, but Paul's cure. I want you to notice something that led to Paul's cure. God had chosen and spoke to Ananias to go and to touch Paul's eyes. And we know that the end result of that, the scales fell and Paul was able to see. But look, if you would, and back up in verse number 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise," speaking of God to Ananias, "arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." The word "prayeth" means it is a word, it is a current word. It is an occupied word. Didn't mean that he prayed or is going to pray, but it meant that Paul was currently praying. And he was praying for healing. But also I want you to know that his healing hinged upon another, Ananias. And Ananias was intimidated to come and lay hands on Paul because of his past testimony. And Paul, he is in a situation where he just got saved and now his vision's gone. And it, as it were, scales upon his eyes and he couldn't see. But Paul was praying. And I want to say tonight that there was a miracle in the making here. Paul was praying and God was moving pieces over here on this side to complete the puzzle. But if Ananias would have said, "No, Lord, I'm sorry, I've heard of Paul. There is no way I'm going down there. And I don't care what you say, Lord, I am not going to lose my life over this." Ananias could have said that. But you see, Paul was praying. And he was praying for intervention in his life. And because one person was obedient, because they held the rope, so to speak, because they were much more interested in being used of God and doing what God wanted them to do more than just peace and safety, my four and no more, Paul wouldn't have gotten healed. We have an account here of a miracle in the making, and it was based upon or hinged upon the obedience of one willing to go. Who is it in your life tonight that is suffering? Who is it in your life tonight that needs help, that needs prayer? And no doubt God can use anybody to touch their life, but maybe, just maybe, God is knocking on your heart's door. Maybe like Ananias, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Hold on, Lord. You know who's over there. Sometimes in life, I think that God, He knocks upon our heart's door and He nudges us and He woos us and He moves us and directs us to go help somebody. But sometimes there's these stipulations on it. And sometimes there's these drawbacks that we bring up before God. Well, God, you know who they are. Lord, you know how they hurt me in the past. Or, Lord, you know that I gave them a gift last week and they never said thank you. And now you're telling me to go give them another gift? Lord, I just don't understand this. And you see, the whole thing tonight and the whole miracle tonight hinges upon the obedience of Ananias. God wants to use all of us tonight. And it all hinges upon our obedience to Him to be used. But Paul was praying in verse number 11. And we know that he was a chosen vessel, verse 16. Not only did God address Ananias in verse 15, but God addressed Ananias concerning Paul in verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him said, Brother Paul, or Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And so we see Paul's cure in verse number 10 through verse number 18. We see his cure. And then we've seen his conversion in verse number 1 through 9. But I want you to notice something else. Look, if you would, in verse number 19 through 25, we see Paul's contention. So now Paul has been saved a little while. And now some things are taking place. There's some contention. Immediately he lost his sight for 3 days. And now God had used someone to intervene in Paul's behalf, and now Paul can see. And in verse number 19 through 25, we see Paul's contention. In verse 19, the Bible says, And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And so now Paul is going in the strength of the Lord, in the strength of those prayers, in the strength of the intervention of Ananias and God's touch and God's grace. His strength was being increased and increased. But then, verse number 23, there was contention. As is in our lives when we go to do something for the Lord and we set out to serve Him and we desire to be used by Him, there's contention. Look at verse 23. Now the devil is trying to shut it down. Now the devil is trying to stop it. Now Satan is using these men to silence the uprising apostle, the Apostle Paul. Not to mention it's the Apostle Paul who wrote most of the New Testament. It's the Apostle Paul that God was going to inject a thorn to keep him humble so God can dump the grace on him to be used. But now this great apostle, soon to be great apostle, these Jews are taking counsel to kill him. Verse number 24, the Bible says, But their lying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and let him down by the wall in a basket. We see Paul's contention. Why was there contention? Because he was preaching. Paul was preaching. Paul turned his back on a
wild, murderous lifestyle against Christians because God touched him and God saved him, and now his back is to them and it's upon Christ. Paul's preaching. Paul has his vision now. He's being increased in strength. God is moving. God is blessing. And then the enemy came. And the enemy was trying to kill him. That's the very words they used, and the writer uses in verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And so now Paul had to escape. There had to be an escape plan from being killed. There had to be a way out. And because Paul had some friends that loved him, it happened. Look at verse 25 again. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And so why was there contention? Because of the preaching. Who was in the basket? Paul, the great apostle soon to be. But who helped? The disciples helped. They were there for him. It was at nighttime they let him down. They were there for him by night to let him down by the wall in the basket. Paul was a basket case. I mean, really think about it. Everything that he'd been through already and how God has changed his life, and now they're seeking to kill him, and now he's being rescued by his friends, being let down by this wall in the basket. Paul was loved. Paul had people that cared about him. Notice verse number 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Not only did the disciples intervene and help Paul, but in verse number 27, there's a beloved brother by the name of Barnabas that helped Paul. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I want to say this about Barnabas. Barnabas spoke for Paul when Paul couldn't speak for Paul. It was known already of Paul's message, but there were just some that didn't believe him. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you wanted to confess and profess that, hey, I'm different. Yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but my life's different now. I've been struggling a lot lately, but all is different. And it's a new day for me today. I've laid a lot of things down. There's always some in the crowd that don't believe that you really have or I really have. There were many of them in verse 26 that said that they really didn't believe that Paul had changed. There's a lot of naysayers tonight. There's a lot of naysayers who, I don't know why, other than it's motivated by the devil and the world and the flesh, that like for someone not to rise up to success because if they stay down, it makes them look elevated. I don't know. But there was one who spoke for Paul when Paul couldn't speak for Paul. And it was the beloved Barnabas, verse 27. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. If we ever have opportunity to speak well of someone, speak well of someone. Listen, if someone is struggling in your life that you know, but there is an inkling and a desire for them to change, speak well of them. Pray for them. Lift them up. Hold on to the rope in their life, because you just don't know, number one, who's in the basket. The Apostle Paul was in this basket, who went on to be the great Apostle Paul, as I said a moment ago, and God used him to write nearly the entire New Testament. Paul was greatly used. There's someone tonight in the life of all of us who's in a basket that we need to hold the rope to, because we just don't know who's in the basket. Not only that, but we just need to pour our lives into someone. Have you ever been mentored before by someone? Let me ask you this. I was thinking about this the other day. We share some verses in brotherhood. And you don't have to raise your hand, but have you genuinely, realistically, honestly had someone pour into your life spiritual things, mentor you in some capacity, And you are who you are because this person had part in it. I think we all have. And tonight, I feel like it is our duty to pour our life into someone. Listen, who was it in the book? We said it last Sunday morning. Cain, am I my brother's keeper? Well, I want to tell Cain, yes, you were your brother's keeper. And we are presently today all of our brother's keepers and our brother's sisters. Listen. If a brother or a sister is going downhill or they're struggling, don't say, well, Lord, just bless them real good and warm them up like James says and, you know, let them be warmed. No, that's not true religion. That's not true faith. We're talking about faith in action. Listen, we are all indebted to pour into the life of others. I want to give my life to pour into individuals. And by the help of the Lord, I want to do so. Barnabas poured in to Saul. He couldn't speak for himself. Others were downing him and degrading him. Oh, that's not him. No, he couldn't change. How many times has someone said in your life you couldn't change? Huh? How many times have said, oh, no, that's Justin. He'll never change. I remember, this is high school stuff. Talking about high school and graduating. This is high school stuff. But I remember in high school. By the help of the Lord, the only worth I have is because of the Lord. And He has a way of lifting us up. And listen, we need to pour into others. Many times people say, you'll be back. You won't last the church life. I'm going to say to that crowd, if anybody by the grace of God is listening from my past online, I'll be back. It's been 16 years and I'm still serving God. And I'm always going to serve God because God changed my life. And listen, I want to pour into the lives of others. Thank God for Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. It gets better. Verse 28, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He kept on speaking for them. And verse 31, the Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Look over, if you would, a couple chapters to the right. I say a couple chapters. One chapter, chapter 11. And now we see that Barnabas, there was a small time of separation, but now Barnabas was sent to Antioch. Look in verse number 19. And they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Paul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Barnabas reached out to Paul and brought him in the church of Antioch. And for 1 year, the Bible says, for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. I believe Saul at this particular point, Paul, was under watch care. I believe that Barnabas seen something in Paul that maybe others didn't see. Again, I believe that Barnabas was a mentor to Paul and he believed in Paul. Then look in chapter number 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth in this matters by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, hitting the first missionary journey together, Barnabas and Saul. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying just hold the rope. Hold the rope. Maybe that was a better title than Paul the Basket Case. Doesn't matter. It's the same idea. Paul was a basket. He was in that basket. And Paul had a lot going on in his life, but because he had some that loved him, and they held on to him as they lowered him over that wall and he escaped, Barnabas came in the picture, spoke up for Paul, embraced Paul, poured into Paul, brought him back to Antioch, and for a whole year he was under watch care. He was being used of God, and Paul was learned already, but yet he was studying from the Christian's perspective, being used of God. And then in chapter number 13, he was chosen, had hands laid upon him, and then he was sent forth with Barnabas. I want to say tonight as we prepare a song of invitation, and that's the sermon. If you don't already, find someone. I was thinking the other day, I think a lot, and I have headaches often. So I try not to think sometimes when I have a minute. But I was thinking, sometimes, now listen to me, I really mean this. If we focus on numbers at church, sometimes it can get discouraging. But God changed my perspective majorly. He got me from thinking about numbers to individuals. Because it's all about individuals and it's not about numbers. Now, there's a book of numbers in the Bible. There's scripture that says that God wants his house full and filled. But how is that accomplished? It's accomplished one by one. I was thinking about Andrew, how Andrew led Peter to the Lord. Peter was used on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 plus souls were saved. But you don't hear much about Andrew. But Andrew sought out and went to his brother first. He first findeth his brother. He first findeth Simon. And that's what Jesus did as he walked and as he ministered. It was one by one by one. And the closing word tonight is simply this. Is just get invested in someone's life. It doesn't have to be a bunch of people. One purpose, and I promise you, your joy factor will go straight up because God will be using you. Let's stand to our feet. And we'll have a verse. If you need to come, you come.